Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. It was he, that is Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we come before you today, we do pray that you'll bless us as your people. Help us to hear your truth, and then be able to take that truth and in love bring it to the people who are around us, those that you've put into our path, that we might be a witness of how you have dealt with us. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the truth of what he has done for us. We pray that as we take that gospel, the good news of what Christ has done to the world around us, that we will do so in love. Be with my words today, may they be true to yours, and may your people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Speaking the truth. Do you like to hear the truth? Have you ever had someone come to you with a hard truth that maybe you didn't want to hear? Do you enjoy hearing hard things? Or do you enjoy hearing good things? Speaking the truth in all of our communication, with our mouth, with our fingers. Okay, a lot of people communicate now either by thumb or by fingers, typing on a keyboard, but all of our communication should be in truth. How do we communicate truth? Even in our text messages, there's now over a trillion text messages being sent each year. That's a lot of messages. It's a lot of people communicating. Some of those messages aren't worth the time to type them. As we communicate with others, we need to do so in truth. Now, speaking the truth can take on a lot of different aspects. The first I like to talk about is one that usually comes to mind when people hear speak the truth in love. They're thinking generally about hearing something that's hard to hear. They're hearing something that someone who is confronting them, the hard thing. That often is the first thing to pop into our minds when we hear this phrase, speaking the truth in love. Now, we need to be aware that we should be telling each other the hard things. If someone's life isn't consistent with their proclamation of Christ as King, then we do need to confront. We need to come to them and say, what's the story here? Why is your life not consistent with your profession of faith? Sometimes we need to come do that. But we need to make sure that we're speaking the truth in love. Well, how does that happen? One commentator talked about making sure that the truth is wrapped in a nice package. That it matters how we bring the truth to people. That sometimes the package is even more important than the content that's there, because if it's not the right package, they're not going to hear it. When you give a gift, I'm terrible at this. Do you wrap your gifts? I hardly ever do. So every now and then I will wrap, but people like to see this beautiful package that comes to them. At Christmas time, do you just lay all the gifts out under the tree without wrapping? Well, maybe you do. Most people wrap it up, put a bow on it, make it look really nice. As we speak to the truth, especially the hard things, we want to make sure that it's in a package that will be heard, where the package is beautiful, even if the truth is difficult to hear. But I think more importantly, I sort of like the idea of the package idea. You know, the people market all sorts of things, and the package that they put it in is important in terms of whether or not people buy things. But I think as we look at what Paul's saying here, I think it's more important that we look at how we approach bringing the truth to other people. Paul says, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. What does that mean? Well, as we look at bringing something to someone else, we need to do it in love. We need to do it in a way that cares for that person, that loves that person. In a way that we can say, okay, it's not just that I'm bringing some truth to them, I'm just not saying a hard thing, but I'm bringing them something that will help them to grow, help them to become more like Christ, help them to put on the things of God. How can I do that? How can I do that so that they will respond in a way that growth is seen? That's the key. When I want to speak the truth to someone, I want to think about, okay, how are they going to hear this? How are they going to hear this in a way that will allow them to say, yes, I need to grow in Christ. I need to put off the old and put on the new. I need to do things in the way that God is calling me to do them. I'm not trying to offend. I'm not trying to depress. I'm not trying to put people down. I'm looking at how they can grow in Christ. That's the only way that's going to produce any results. Now, when I come to someone, I need to examine my own motivations. And you all need to do that as well. As you're coming to someone and thinking that you're speaking the truth to them, examine your motivations. Why am I talking to this person about this particular thing? Is it because there's something that will benefit me? Am I trying to puff myself up by pointing something out to this other person? I need to examine my motivations. The purpose for my coming to someone and speaking the truth to them is so that they will grow in Christ. I need to look at God's purposes. And I need to examine my own motivations and make sure that it's God's purposes that I'm looking at and not my own. Not that I'm trying to get something out of it. I need to examine my motivations and look and make sure that it's God's purposes and not my own that I'm concerned with. As I mentioned before, the last psalm, there's many psalms that talk about truth and love together. Sometimes about God, sometimes about his people, living that out. And we need to do that. The scriptures also give us clear warnings about our speech. James 3 is one place that is very clear about the problems that are associated with our speech. So I'd just like to read James chapter 3. It's not a long chapter, so. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I don't really like reading that very often, but oh well. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Okay? So you put the bit into the mouth so that you can have the reins hooked onto that, and you can turn the horse, have him do your bidding. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Now, if you've been in any kind of a boat, you realize how important that rudder is. If you go canoeing, you know, you can paddle on one side of the canoe and keep it straight just by adding a little bit of a rudder at the end. That's called the J stroke, and you can control where you're going by using that rudder. Big ships just have a little rudder in the back, and that will cause them to go in one direction or another. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Have you ever set something that sort of touched on a fire? A difficulty between you and another person or people? Have you ever let something slip that all of a sudden became something that was out of control that you couldn't do anything about? The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and when with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Are you a believer in Christ? You profess faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your hands as you type, should show that over and over again, and should show that you're growing in your relationship with Him and that you're becoming more and more like Him. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you have disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. That's what should characterize our speech to one another. That's what should characterize all of our communication. This last part that's here, that's how we tame the tongue, is making sure that we're doing these things. But the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. When we're speaking the truth in love, that's what we should see. Both peace and righteousness coming out as a result. If we're speaking the truth in love, that will happen because we're looking at how we can bless the people around us and bring them to a knowledge of the truth and move them in their growth in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Speak the truth in love. So it can be referring to hard things. Okay, that is speaking the truth in love. Maybe telling someone something that's hard to hear, but doing it in love so that they can grow. But one that I trouble with. I don't think about it enough. And that's speaking the truth when what's required is encouragement. Speaking the truth when you want to build someone up by saying good things about that person. I'm pretty good at the confronting part. I'm not that good at the encouraging part, and I need to work on that. We need to speak the truth when the truth is going to encourage our fellow believers. Speaking the truth does not always involve correction. We build one another up by encouraging those things that they are doing well, that are those who are around us. When they're using the gifts that God has given, we encourage them. Now, there is a difference between truth and just flattery. Flattery is usually motivated by wanting someone to do something for us or like us more or something else. And it doesn't necessarily contain truth. We need to be truthful as we encourage one another. We need to be truthful as we share with one another the good things that we see in them, but we do want to share those things. It needs to be the right truth for the right situation. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 discusses that. It'll talk first of all about the hard things, and then when people need something a little bit more gentle. All of these being done in love. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Okay, sometimes we do need to confront. Warn those who are idle. But encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. We need to look at the situation and say, how can I help them to grow? Sometimes it's confronting, but sometimes it's encouraging them. It's helping them. It's saying good things about them to move them along so that they can see how God is using them and how God has gifted them with things that can be used for the building up of his body. Appreciate those that God has placed around you. As you look around at those within the church, appreciate the gifts that he has given them and how they can be used to help you to grow. Look for ways to speak truth in love, encouraging the gifts that God has given to your brothers and sisters in Christ. So there's confronting, then there's encouraging. But one thing I think is very clear in this text is that speaking the truth requires truth. We need to know the truth. The gifts that Paul mentioned, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Those gifts that he uses there, and remember, they're all meant to equip the saints for works of service or works of ministry. But those gifts that Paul uses all have something to do with sharing God's word, with sharing God's truth. And that's a real key here. Speaking the truth means speaking the things that we know are true. And that comes from God's word. And we need to learn more of God's word so that we can speak the truth into others' lives. So we can both know the scriptures and then apply the scriptures to various points in our own lives and in the lives of those that God brings us in contact with.